I'm going to be moving back and forth, Thomas. So I'll come out here so Jean can hear me and Virginia. Several years ago, many years ago, Jean said to me, dear, Jean said to me, when I die, I want you to have my funeral. Because I did the funeral service for your sister-in-law, Ruth Ann's mom. That's your sister-in-law, yeah. And Jean said, you did such a great job. I want to pin you down to have my funeral. And I thought, here I am celebrating 100 years with this old girl. She has survived all this time. Norma, can you believe it? It's hard to imagine. We're glad Norma's here, but we miss Joni today. She's a great friend. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful person that God has provided for you in your old age. I hate to say it, but it is old age. Well, not only did she say, could you have my funeral? Martha Harris is here, and she asked me, didn't you, Martha? She did. She asked me to have her funeral. And then I ran into Steve Carrier down at his new facility, and he said, I suppose you'll have my funeral. Dick Bynes back there said, I suppose you'll have my funeral. Aye, aye, aye. They must be good. They must be good. Whenever COVID was on, I had 13 funerals from November the 11th till the middle of February. Didn't know them. I think I told you this a few. I didn't know these people, many of them. I knew a couple of them. And I forged ahead, and now people see me on the street, and everybody had masks on. I didn't know them. And they'll say, oh, Pastor Baker, how are you? You had my mother's funeral. I said, oh, I missed you. I didn't see them at all. But we're not going to talk about that today. But I'm going to tell you a little story, and we'll get started with this message. There was a little kid that was as big as Judah over here, that was as big as Judah. And he and his friends went out in the woods, and they had a favorite tree down in the field. And they would climb the tree. They would play Tarzan. They would play space, outer space, spaceman. They would play any game that they could, and they loved the tree. So it came supper time. And Dad and Mom are there, and the sister and the boy. And Dad said, that old fruit tree down there at the end of the pasture is coming down. It doesn't bear fruit anymore. It's of no good. It's of no use at all. I'm going to cut that tree down. What did the kid do? He and his buddy went down in the other field, and they got up in a tree and picked every apple they could, and they went down and tied the apples onto that tree that was not bearing fruit. And so Dad went down with his chainsaw, and he came back very quickly, and his wife said, did you cut it down already? He said, no, it's amazing. That tree is filled with apples. Every branch has an apple. And he said, but what the miracle is, it's a pear tree filled with apples. Now, I just did that to get your attention. So that has nothing to do with my message, but I did get your attention. In our text this morning, Psalm 92, tells us that the righteous flourish like the palm tree. In the desert, palm trees flourish. They usually grow around what in the desert? What is it called? An oasis, all right? They usually grow around an oasis. And it certainly is a welcome sight to travelers to see that palm tree. It signaled shade, it signaled water, it signaled a place to rest for a while. Now, the Syrians, believe it or not, I've been reading up on these palm trees. The Syrians have 360 uses for a palm tree. And I'm going to cover 359 of them. That'll take us to about 3 o'clock. No, we'll just cover a couple of them. The most obvious use is for shade, to get out of the harsh light. And the next use is for fruit. Now, what kind of fruit grows on palm trees? Not palms, but we have dates grow on there, or coconut palm trees, peach palm trees, believe it or not, oil palm fruit, palmetto berries, sugar plum fruit, and betel nuts grow on those trees. And people eat them in various countries. To the ancient Jews, when they were crossing the desert and going to the promised land, they looked for those palm trees. They looked for a place where they could get water. And of course, God provided water from a rock. We know that. We know that story. But the palm was something filled with hope. They got together and there was joy. They rejoiced and there was victory. We've gone another mile. We've made it through the wilderness thus far, and we can plug on, keep going. And in this Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15, the psalmist and the Lord want us to see that we are prized by Almighty God, that we are likened to those palm trees. We're God's prize. And if we were to study Hebrew and you would look at the Hebrew writing, it's anybody here ever take a course in Hebrew? Anyone? It's a picture language. If you look at them, they're little pictures that depict letters, and it's quite an interesting. I never took that. I wasn't smart enough, and I was always too busy. But this psalmist is painting a picture for us. He wants us, our minds, to go to a palm tree. God has given a special place to palms. It says that they are in his house, that they are in his courts. It's like us being palm trees. We're in God's house, we're in his courts. He looks at us like that because we're joyful. We're so glad to see God. Good things have happened, and we're there in heaven forever. Now, I want to look at three scriptures, and you listen as I read them, that exemplify the fact that we are special to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And Paul writes, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ramsey Ent, if you walked into Mike's Comet and you ran into Ramsey, he would quote that verse at the top of his voice. You remember Ramsey? He had that down, that we are safe and we are secure in the hands of a loving God. That we are not lost and saved, but we are saved. Sometimes we might stumble. And you know what I mean when I say that we might stumble. But we are His, secure with Him. And that first one that I read, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. We worship Him in our body and in our lives. Our lives should be acts of worship to God. And the last one is found in Romans 7, or 1 Corinthians 3:16 rather. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? What other religion has God living in them? I think there's none. God is alive and He lives in us, in you. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? What a fine plan. What a great plan. It's a divine plan. It's unbelievable. And here is Jean. Jean, how old were you when you were saved? Take a stab. 50-some. 50 years. That's a long time. 50 years. Jean Knapp at 100 years is special to God. Judah, Kayla, Calla, and Lana are special to God in their young age. We all who know Christ as our Savior are special to God. He thinks highly of us as we worship Him and as we serve Him. 100 years is more than a number. It's a testimony. It's a testimony to God working and meeting and providing. Think of the decades. That Jean has lived, the seasons that have passed in front of her, and she's glad they're behind her. The storms that have come into her life, not only physical storms, but difficult times, they're there, they happen, don't they, Jean? The storms of life hit us. And then all the joys that she's experienced in 100 years. Jody, can you imagine? 100 years. Jean is one of the few that reached this. It's a milestone. But she is one of the few that reach it and is grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing to be grounded in Christ and still bearing fruit. So Psalm 92 gives us a picture, not just of a long life, but a meaningful life. Now verse 12 tells us, and now I got to take my pose as the preacher who needs a seat. Verse 12 tells us that the righteous flourish like a palm tree. Now, we all watch, how many of you sit glued to the tube watching the weather? I know a lady who does. I don't know why. My wife knows the weather that's going to be in St. Augustine, Florida, or Jacksonville, or the weather that's going to be up in Erie, or the weather that's going to be down in Cranberry Township. I think she does it so she can pray for the kids. They all live there. The grandkids, they're all scattered all around. She knows the weather. Judy, what's the weather like? Look it up on your phone. I'm not telling you. So I don't get the weather from her. But it tells us that the righteous flourish like a palm tree. Whenever we see the hurricanes and we see these people reporting on the hurricanes and the tornadoes and all that, we see them. The wind's blowing, they're out in the middle of the road and the water's 2 feet deep. And they pick devastated areas where the hurricane hit. And they show oak trees that have been blown over, and they show other trees that have been snapped off, you know, in at the roots or in the trunk. But you know, I never see palm trees so often. They don't stand by palm trees, because it's very rarely that a palm tree snaps. They can withstand that weather. Now, I don't want to say that Jean has been a palm tree, but she's an example of a faithful believer, one that knows that God will see her through anything. She's gone through storms. She's lost her son. She's lost her husband. Many losses in her family. We know we all have them. And she's gone through, seen a couple wars, several wars, and changes in the roads and in cars. And if we sat down and said, what were the roads like when you were a kid? Oh boy, she could tell us. What were the cars like? Did they have rumble seats in the cars when you were a kid? Yeah, she's shaking her head, yes. We'll tell you about them later. Hardships, and yet, here she is, still standing. Now, she can't stand for very long. She's got to keep moving, and if she stops, that back problem gets her. But she has weathered the storms of life. And I'll tell you, God will see all of us through the storms of life, just as Jean has weathered them. She's weathered those storms, not because life was easy, but because God was and is faithful to her. Flourishing is not an absence of hardship. It's the presence of God in the midst of hardship. People say, why does God, and I've had this conversation in the last couple weeks. Why does God allow this to happen? Why does God allow war? And they'll say that. And I'll say, we believers do not lead a charmed life, but we handle things differently. We handle it differently because we have Him. Amen? Amen? Now, the second thing we see is that there are deep roots. Deep roots produce strength. And it speaks there about growing like a cedar of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon are known for this great root system that they have. And they live for a long time. and they have great strength. And if you were to go into Europe and in the Middle East, many of the great old cathedrals and other big, huge buildings are made out of the cedars of Lebanon. I think Solomon was looking for the cedars of Lebanon whenever he built the temple. Why? Because what's below the surface is stronger than what's above. That root system holds them up, keeps them firm. And then when you cut them down and you cut the slabs off the side, you see that side of that board, but that strength is in there. The center is tight and it stays tight and can last for centuries. Now, Jean's life didn't just happen by accident. She didn't just stumble onto God. God had a plan that she should hear the gospel, that she should give her heart to the Lord, that she should confess her sin, and the Lord is faithful to forgive her sin. But her life is built on these 50 years or more of prayer, worship, service, trusting God, living for Jesus. When I pastored here, one time, two times, I could always count on Jean to be here. She didn't go many places, Norma. Well, you should have taken her places. Anyway, I can remember that she was always faithful to the house of God. And then the third thing we see is that those palms are planted in the house of the Lord. Verse 13, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They weren't like a house plant that didn't stay rooted. They weren't like your, how do you get rid of forsythia? Never mind, we'll talk about it later. They weren't like those things that want to hang on forever. They weren't like those little pansies and petunias and all that we plant. And those things can be planted, but their roots don't go that deep. But those palms are planted. They don't drift. They stay in one spot. Never moving, always rooted deep. That's because Jean's roots are in Jesus. She knows Christ as her Savior. And she has decided, this is how I will live. This is the way that I will go. I will go the way of the Lord. A loving mom, a giving person, a praying mom, Sunday after Sunday, event after event, prayer meeting after prayer meeting, Sunday nights if she could. Jean's life has been consistent and God only sees it. Oh, that all of us could be consistent like Jean. And then still bearing fruit in old age. Verse 14, they will still bear fruit in old age. Now I'm moving, Thomas. I work with hospice. So I go in to a home and I introduce myself and I say to the person, are you a religious person? Well, and I told you this a couple weeks ago, I believe in God, and they go on and tell me all these things. And they tell me some good things. And I know that they need to come to a saving knowledge of Christ because their answers don't line up. But I'm not I'm not judging them. I'm just going to give them the word. And then there are others that will say, I am so tired. I am just so tired. And these are people that are just weary. Ellen's sister, Betsy, I chatted with her. She was so tired. You know it, Ellen. You know. Betsy just passed away. So tired. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. And they'll say, what good am I? What can I do? I can't go to church even. I can't do this. I can't do that. What good am I just here in this place? I could say, you could pray for the missionaries. They'll go, oh boy. I'll certainly pray for the missionaries, but that's not a real active thing that they want to do 24/7, but they can. But I say, do you know that just living your Christian life is an act of service? Just living your Christian life is an act of service. Using your wisdom and dealing with folks and connecting with these workers and connecting with people in various activities. I went to bingo, where Debbie was playing bingo the other day. I was down there and I said, did you win any money? 10 cents. Not a big time winner, but it was 10 cents. But I had one little lady that was at the old Pennsylvania Memorial Home. And I would visit her. When I first moved to Brookville, we had that Thursday night service there. Some of you might remember. We went over there. And this lady, her name was Rhoda. And Rhoda was holiness. She was Pilgrim Holiness, or one of those groups, Wesleyan Methodist. And the nurse called and said, Rhoda wants you to come and see her. And I went in, and there's Rhoda. She's crying. She's boo-hooing. Rhoda, what's wrong? She could barely talk. It's awful. It's awful. I said, Rhoda. She said, I've lost my salvation. I said, what did you do? She said, I played bingo. And I said, Rhoda, and we went through the whole thing, and I said, it's just a game, dear, and we went through the whole thing, and she calmed down, and she says, oh, thank you for coming in. And then I started down the hall, and I got halfway down the hall, and I heard her big bawl, and I went back, and I said, what's wrong? I forgot to tell you. I played bingo, and I won. Oh, boy. I won. Bearing fruit and fruitfulness doesn't always involve activity as a believer, but it's living the Christian life before people. And we can do that, and people can know that we're different, using our wisdom, our encouragement, our faith, and our example as what a Christian is like. God is worth following more than just for a season, but God is worth following for a lifetime. Amen? And then we are living testimonies. Verse 15, the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. The purpose of a long, faithful life is not just to endure, but to declare something, that God is faithful, that God is good, that God is trustworthy, that God has a plan for your life, that God wants you to be with Him. He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that we can have eternal life. Praise God for that. What a wonderful plan. And the retirement benefits are marvelous. You can't beat it. So Psalm 92 tells us a lot of things. In fact, it tells us five things, so I want to get these correct. It flourishes through storms. It grows deep and strong. It remains planted in His presence. It still bears fruit in old age and declares God's faithfulness to others through our lives. What a wonderful plan. A great plan, Barry. It's a marvelous plan. That ends my part for now, and we're going to move on with our program. And it's the closing moment presentation. I've asked Joel to come and ask, Jean, could you come up here? Can you walk up here for a second? Jewel will, and Norma will come with you just for a few minutes, and we'll get you back there. We've got a sash for Jean. 100 and thankful. And not only a sash, Jewel will get that on. We've got a crown for her. Wonderful, Jean. Now, Jean, turn around. If we can get her to just spin around. If you have your phones, you can snap. Now's the time. Jean has strengthened and encouraged others, and we have some beautiful red roses for you. Just turn around a bit so we can get some more pictures with the roses. Okay, thank you, Jean. We appreciate it. God bless you. Jean has strengthened and encouraged others in their faith, and through her participation in church functions and committees, she helped carry the work and mission of the body forward here in this church. As a deaconess, she served with quiet strength and dignity. And alongside pastoral visitation, she and Pastor Motter and a couple others used to get out there and beat the brush, didn't she, Jean? She did. She extended care and compassion and presence to those who needed it most. And she was the best house cleaner in Clarion. Everyone wanted Jean to clean their house. Jean has been, until recently, a person of remarkable energy, always moving, always serving, always giving. And even now, what stands out most is not just what she's done, but who she has been. Faithful, available, and devoted to the Lord. Her life reflects the words of Scripture that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish and still bear fruit in old age. Jean, your life reminds us that faithfulness is not built in a moment, but over a lifetime of saying yes to God again and again. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Today we give thanks not just for 100 years of life, but for 100 years touched and sustained by the grace of God. Amen. Gracious and faithful God, today we come before you with hearts full of gratitude. We thank you for Jean, for her life, for her faith, for the countless ways she has reflected your love within this church and beyond. Thank you for every year you have given her, for every season she has walked through, and for the strength you have provided along the way. Lord, we thank you for her service, for the ways she has encouraged others, cared for those in need, and faithfully supported the work of our church. You have used her hands, her words, and her presence to bless so many. As her energy has changed in recent days, we thank you that your strength never fades. You remain her rock, her refuge, and her ever-present help. We ask now that you would surround Jean with your peace. Let her feel deeply the love of the church family, but even more the nearness of your presence. Comfort her, strengthen her, and fill her heart with the quiet assurance that her labor in you has never been in vain. Lord, may the legacy of her life continue to bear fruit through the people she has touched, the faith she has modeled, and the example she has set for generations to come. And may we, as her church family, be inspired to live with the same faithfulness, devotion, and love. We thank you, Lord, that through every year, through 100 years, you have been faithful, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a closing song.